Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. It's great to see everyone this morning. Happy birthday again, Karen. I just want to remind all the family group leaders, we are not going to be having a meeting this evening. We will have one next Sunday. So please put that in your schedule. I have a bunch of index cards here. I need a couple of brothers to help me out. And if you want one, you can take one. I want you to put your name on one side, and I want you to write your prayer request on the other side. Oops. And I will explain about that much later. Just put your name on one side and put your prayer request on the other side. Last Sunday, I started to talk about the power within. How you and I, we've got to learn to rely on God and the Holy Spirit. And in a matter of speaking, I want to kind of continue where I left off last Sunday. I want to make sure that as Christians, as God's children, our Father owns everything, has all the power. He created the universe out of nothing. He's the Almighty God, the highest authority in the universe. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. The God who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen and can't see. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. That when you and I became Christians, he deposited a part of himself inside of us. And as a result, you and I have power to live this life. And like I said last week, we don't want to arrive at the end of our lives. And here you are, your father is the president, you've had a chance to get on Air Force One, and all you asked for was peanuts. You could have asked for driving the plane. When you could have asked to sit in that chair that he sits up there and lie down in that bed and take a shower in that place. Are you with me? And I think as Christians, so many times, we forget who God is and how close he is. And how close he wants to be with every single one of us. And so this morning, I want to kind of continue where I left off last week. I've titled the lesson this morning, Alone with God. And so I want to go back and talk about our prayer lives. One of the most amazing things that I find in Scripture is just how much Jesus prayed. And how much time is spent in prayer. You see, we got to be careful as Christians that prayer does not become a tradition. That prayer doesn't become something we do on a daily basis. That prayer is who we are. Are you with me? That prayer does not become just another routine formality. But that every single day, every hour, we're walking with Almighty God. In Luke chapter 11, that's where we're going to begin this morning. Beginning verse 1. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And other manuscripts goes on to say, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One of the disciples came to Jesus and says, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Again, in Scripture, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. He taught them how to pray. To know how to speak to God is more important than knowing how to speak to man. He says, Lord,
teach us to pray.
Why? Because they saw something in his prayer life that was different from anything they had known. The scriptures in the Gospels were told many times, Jesus would withdraw very often and just go pray. And the attitude was like, God, teach us. We want to have that kind of prayer life. He says, when you pray, notice he doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. So there's an assumption that this is something that you and I are doing on a regular basis. Amen? That we're not just uttering words. He says, Father. Again, some manuscripts say, our Father in heaven. Again, it's very interesting that none of God's children up to this point ever ventured to address God as Father. Jesus was the one who started it. And he says, you know, say Father. Because that is what he is to us. We're going before our daddy. And I think a lot of us, as humans, if we want to be honest, obviously our fathers, our human fathers, were not perfect. Many of them were wanting. But God is not like your dad. I'm sorry. God is not like my dad. He's a perfect dad. And he wants to hear from us. He wants us to come to him. It's very enduring. When a kid looks at the dad and says, Dad. It's a term of endearment. And he wants us to remember that. It says, hallowed be your name. In other words, holy is your name. We're talking about a holy, righteous Father. Notice it says, your kingdom. Your name, your kingdom. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first part of it talks about God. Again, too many times when we start praying, we start talking about ourselves. When you and I come before God, regardless of the amount of time you're spending, the first half of it needs to be just concentrated on who God is. Why? Because my scripture also tells me he knows what you need even before you open your mouth. So we shouldn't be so quick to get to our prayer list. We need to have a prayer list, amen, that we take before him. But God has to come first. Amen? Amen? Believe me, your name, your kingdom, your will, all comes before give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us, which is the second half of the prayer. There is a reason it's that way. Are you with me? But again, this is a model that Jesus says, you know what? He wants us to follow. Now look in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. I want to hear those Bibles turning. I'm an old-fashioned guy. There's nothing wrong in being old-fashioned. Being old-fashioned is in. That's where it's at. Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, no, Lord, I do not need you. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done, just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed at that very hour. The Bible tells us here that the centurion came asking for help. We're told that his servant was at home, paralyzed, and in terrible suffering. And another version of the Bible tells us that he actually didn't feel worthy to come ask Jesus by himself, so he sent some of the Jewish elders. And they're the ones who came on his behalf to say, could you please come and heal this guy? Remember, this is a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. And here he is asking Jesus, a Jew, to come heal his servant. Obviously, he must have heard that Jesus was in the healing business. Are you with me? He must have heard stories that this guy could raise the dead and do things that were totally unconventional. And so he asked for his help. And so my question is, when you get in trouble, when I get in trouble, who do you ask for help from? Again, I got to be honest with us. A lot of times, when I face a situation, when something comes across my desk, the first thing I do is to start getting that mode of, I got to take care of the situation right away. And then, I'll go pray about it. But you see, we got to become individuals that go to God first before talking to other individuals. It's great to talk to other individuals, but other individuals are not God. They don't have all the power. Are you with me? You and I have got to take our problems and our issues to the highest authority in the universe first, and then go to humans to help out. You know, the Bible says the centurion came asking for help. It takes a lot of humility to ask for help. Because too many times we're so proud. We think, we got it figured out. It takes humility. You say, help me. I don't know how to go about this. It takes a lot of humility. You know how it is? A lot of times you'll be watching a movie, and maybe somebody gets shot, and, the husband or wife or a bystander is there. And what are they doing? Help! Somebody help me! Why? Because they can't handle that situation themselves. You can hear the desperation in that person's voice. Are we that desperate when we're talking to the Almighty? Because we know we have no other place to turn. We have no other person to go to. That's the kind of prayer life I'm talking about. Not just mouthing off words and, I need to pray for the next 20 minutes because somebody's going to ask me how I'm doing this week. Oh, no, you missed it. We're talking about where you and I are shouting out to God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that during Jesus' life on earth, he cried out with a lot of tears and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Are you with me? If Jesus, the Son of God, would go through that, what do you think we and I need to go through? We need to go through the same way. Amen? This guy cried out. And notice, Jesus says, "I will go and heal him." God is always willing. Always. He's a God who cares about us. He wants to fix that situation for you. He wants to fix that situation for me. But we've got to go with him with humility, saying, "God, I got nowhere else to go. I got nobody else to turn to. God, I need you to fix this." Amen? We got to cry out to him if we understand the authority that he's got. And the centurion says, you don't have to come under my roof. You don't have to be present. Just say the word. Now that's power. Can you imagine? You can be in New York and just say the word and something happens in Gwinnett County, that's power. Curtains open. And all of a sudden, the curtains open. You're going to be going, now who did that? That's what God does every day. Are you with me? All he has to do is say the word. In your prayers, did you say that to God? Father, just say the word. Father, just give the order. And you watch what happens. Because if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. That's what the Bible teaches. But we've got to be humble. We've got to ask God. Because we're calling on the highest authority. He's willing. See, what stops us from asking? I believe sometimes we feel guilty. We feel, you know what, here I am, I'm a sinner. I just messed up. I just had an argument with my spouse. Who am I to go ask God for A, B, C, D? Remember what that model prayer is. It says, forgive us as we forgive other people. In other words, the first part of your prayer, somewhere in there, before you start asking for anything, confess your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. He hears you. Say, Father, I'm a wretched sinner. I got nothing. We just sang about it. I got nothing to bring before you except my wretched, sinful self. I don't deserve to be asking you for anything. But I know you're a compassionate God. You're a merciful God. Father, please forgive me. And let it end there. See, the problem is a lot of us, you know, Satan keeps on convincing us that, you know what, you are no good. My Bible says the devil is a liar. Who are you going to listen to? The liar or the person telling the truth? So yes, confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, and move on. But guilt should not stop you from asking incredible things of God. It shouldn't. Sometimes some of us feel God doesn't like me. I've actually had Christians say that. I don't think God likes me very much. Really? I don't know what Bible you've been reading. God doesn't like you and he will allow his son to die for you? And has provided for you all this time in your life? And you're telling me God doesn't like you? Come on. You've been spending too much time listening to the devil. God not only likes you, he loves you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Are you with me? Of course God likes you. Of course God loves you. Some of us, we're just tired. Because, you know, we've been praying about something for years and we haven't seen the result or the answer. Or better yet, we've not gotten the answer we wanted or we think we deserve. And so we start praying about that thing. I got a secret for you. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There are things on my prayer list that I've been praying for since the day I became a Christian. The only time when I strike something off that prayer list is when God makes it very clear that, you know what, here's my answer. Until then, that thing stays on my prayer list. And I will keep on bugging him because Luke 18 is in the Bible for a reason. Because he cannot put me off forever. I even say that to God. I say it like that in prayer sometimes. I say, God, here I am. Father, I'm bringing this up again. I know you haven't forgotten, but I'm just bringing it up again. I don't know how many times I've said this, but hey, Lord, here it is again. I'm still waiting, Lord, with a smile on my face. He's not upset. But you see, we can't get tired of praying things because we think God hasn't answered us. You know, I remember many years ago, I was putting together my bucket list. I didn't know that was what you called it. Things I wanted to do before I died. That was the way I titled it. Later on, I found out, oh, that's what a bucket list is. That's fine. Kick the bucket, I guess. Okay, no problem. I get it. But before I understood the concept, I had made up my own list. And one of the things I wanted to do that I thought would be cool to do before I left this earth was to fly on the Concorde. The supersonic Concorde. The kids are looking at me. What are you talking about? Sorry. They've been decommissioned. The supersonic Concorde flies faster than the speed of sound. I've known a few people that have flown on it. Where it actually flies way above the normal altitude. And you can actually see the curvature of the earth. And it's very dark over, out up there. And you actually, it's all first class, first of all. There's no economy, there's no business. It's all first class. Okay? That's another reason I wanted to fly. And, you know, the thing takes off. I'll never forget seeing that Concorde when I was 11 years old, when I first saw one physically. I was on vacation in London, and we went to like a zoo very close to Heathrow Airport, and all of a sudden I heard this noise, and I looked up, and I was like, wow, that's the Concorde. And I think it was taking off, and I just stood there. I had a camera in my hand. I just stood there going, wow. I couldn't take a picture. I was so awed. But anyway, I made a list, and that was one of the things on my list. I wanted to fly on the Concorde. Guess what? A few years ago, there was a very nasty accident. I believe it was in Paris. And so what did they do? They decommissioned all those flights. They decommissioned all those planes. Now, you can still see those planes in some museums. Okay? If you go to the one in Washington, D.C., they got one there. It's very impressive looking. Now, they won't let you go inside, but you can see from the outside. And so what did I do? You think I'm still praying to be able to fly on the Concorde? Come on, man. I crossed it out. God said, you are not flying on the Concorde. They are decommissioned. And that's okay with me. Are you with me? So when God hasn't answered you, you need to keep on asking. You need to keep on praying. You can't get tired. You can't give up. Amen? But the question is, where do you go for help? Where do you go for help? The centurion went to God, went to Jesus. Look in Psalm 121. You knew I was going there. Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, I want us to all get there. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Listen to what it says. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, not just now, but forever. You see, this needs to be our attitude. That I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Emi ogbe oju mi si ore oke won ni. Nibo ni iranlowo wa tin wa, iranlowo wa ti owo Oluwa wa en ti o da ran wa aye, on ki o je kese wa ki o ye. Kiesi en tin pa se ni mo ki to gbe be ni ki sun. Oluwa ni olupamo wa, Oluwa ni ojiji wa ni owo tun wa. Orun ki o pa ni igba osan tabi osupa ni igba oru. Oluwa yo pa buruku, yo pa ko wa mo, Oluwa yo ma pa alo ati abo wa mo lati igba yi lo ati titi lai lai. And they say we don't speak in tongues in this church. That was Psalm 121 in my native tongue. But is God your helper? Do you realize that the creator of the universe is waiting every single day to hear from you? Do you realize that every day God wants to help you? God wants to help me. And that's why we got to be very careful that this life, stuff that is going on in this life, doesn't crowd out our time and our relationship with God. We're talking about being alone with God. In Psalm 146, verse 5, just write this down. It says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Psalm 146, verse 5. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. Again, just write this down. 2 Chronicles 14, 11. It says, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. Amen? There are incredible promises here in Psalm 121. It says, your foot will not slip. It says, God will watch over you. It says, harm will befall you. You say, well, Richard, you know, I got some problems. Yes, you do. Yes, I got some issues, and I got some problems. You know, being a Christian and praying to God doesn't mean that we're not going to have things that happen to us. The only difference is God will be there to see you through it. Are you with me? He's not going to take you around it. He's not going to avoid it. He's going to walk you right through it. I will be with you always till the very end of the age. And so, yes, stuff is going to happen in our lives. Stuff that we can actually handle. I believe we're going to get to the other side and we're going to see a lot of things that God prevented from happening to us. I think we're going to see it on the other side. And go, whoa, okay. I mean, think about it. Whatever issue you're going through right now in your life, the only reason you're going through it right now is because God knows you can handle it. 5 years ago, you couldn't. That's why I didn't bring it your way. I promise you, what you and I are going to go through 5 years from now, okay, the reason why we don't have it now is because we couldn't handle it. But prayerfully, 5 years from now, we'll be at a different place spiritually to handle those things. Are you with me? But we're talking about being alone with God. We got to fight for that time. You know, I was thinking about this just the other day. I thought, you know what? It's an amazing thing. Look at all these things we call smartphones, tablets, and email, and text messaging, all this kind of stuff. This stuff is, they're recent phenomena. We didn't have this stuff a few years ago. I remember the first time I got on a computer. It took like 6-7 minutes for it to, boot up. That's how long it took. I remember, typing a lesson and saving that thing and going, wow, this is amazing. I remember when email came out. And you could just type a letter or type a message and boom, it goes off to somebody and they get it instantly. Like, this is amazing. I know our kids are looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, a lot of these things is crowding out my relationship with God. And so what am I doing in the month of November? I'm turning my phone off and I'm tossing it into my drawer. So don't call me because I'm not going to answer the cell phone. I'm tossing through the drawer the entire month. If you call, you hear a message, you can leave a message. I'm not going to reply you until December 1st. I can tell you that right now. I'm doing the same thing for email. I will turn my computer on to study my Bible. That's it. I'm not going to answer anybody's email, and I'm not going to send anybody any email. If there's an emergency, call my wife. She'll pass the message on. Don't call and say, put Richard on the phone because I'm not coming to the telephone. This is what I want to do for me because, you know, I got to block out all the noise so I can hear God's voice. For me, all this stuff has become a huge distraction. It's all noise. And so for me, no TV, no news, no football, no basketball, nothing. I'm like, oh, the NBA starts on November 1st. I don't care. Oh, Florida's going to play Georgia next week. So what? You are not going to die if you don't watch those things. And all I'm going to be doing is spending my time in prayer and reading my Bible and just getting close to God. Amen. Like I haven't done in a long time. That's the reason for the cards I gave out. Okay? And I want those back. All right? Because that's all I'm going to be doing. I called up Mike Tolliver. I was meant to be going in November. I said, bro, I'm not coming. I'm sorry, I can't come. I just need to go be with my God. Obviously, he understood. He said, absolutely. I've called the guys in Africa already. I said, guys, come December 1st, you're not going to hear from me. I'll be praying for you. Whatever problems you guys have, I'll be praying for you. But don't be calling me and asking me, oh, how do you do this? Or help us do this. Oh, no. You be talking to your God too. Amen? And I've told him. Because come November 1st, I'm shutting everything down. Now, I'll be at church. Say, how are you going to set up your appointments? I'll do that church. I'm going to be studying Bible with people. But it's going to be face-to-face. Why? Because a few years ago, we didn't have any of this stuff. And I was still doing my job as an evangelist. If anything, I think I relied more on God and the Holy Spirit than I'm doing now. So, I set up an appointment with you. I wait for 10 minutes. You're not there. I'm gone. Don't try to call me because you know where I live. You want to talk to me face to face? Come on over. Mikasa sukasa. The door is always open. Okay, I'm not saying that's what everybody needs to do. That's what I'm doing. That's what I feel I need to do. Because I need to be alone with the Almighty. And block out all this noise and all this chatter. So can you really do this? You watch. And again, I'm not saying this to board. I've never tried this before. But I'm looking forward to it. I've already started, to be honest with you. But see, it's about going back to God. In Acts chapter 12, we know the story. Peter was in prison. The angel got Peter out of prison. But it was prayer that got the angel. You know the story? Herod locked him up and he was going to kill him. And the brothers and sisters started praying for him. So much so, God sent an angel to go get him out of prison. Now, that's not sending a text to somebody or sending an email to somebody to get something done. It's like, you know, God says, I got this one. So much so that when Peter got to the house where they were praying and knocked on the door, the girl didn't actually believe it was him. She says, Peter's at the door. They say, what are you talking about? And the irony about it, they were there praying. Say, you must be out of your mind. And Peter kept on banging, like, hey, will you open the door? And obviously it was Peter. But what made all the difference? It was prayer. Are you with me? Robert McShaney once said, on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. Let me end with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I called a brother up. I said, you know what? How do you, you know, every once in a while, you send an email to somebody, and then you'll get a message back saying they're out of the office. I don't even know how to do that. So a brother said he's going to help me do it. In terms of, you know what? I'm alone with the Lord for the next month. See you December 1st. That's what the message is going to read. And it's going to bounce right back to you. I hope that thing also doesn't just bring the email in because I don't have time to start deleting all that stuff. My brother's going to help me do it, but I wanted to just delete every message so that when I turn my computer on December 1st, you know, I'm not sitting there reading all these tons of email. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you what I need to do. It takes me an hour every day just to go through those emails. And so what I want to be doing is just be praying for situations. I'm praying for people. Because God knows all those things anyhow. Are you with me? But look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 6. And this is where we're going to end. In verse 5. And when you pray, again, notice. It says when you pray, not if. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have already received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Some versions say who is in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, notice what it says. It says will reward you. It doesn't say it might. It says it will. And so, again, you got to find out your own secret place. Amen? I believe everybody needs a secret place where they can just be alone with the Almighty. Without any noise, without any distraction. For a lot of us parents, that is before your kids wake up. Because once that kid wakes up and cries for milk or whatever it is, depending on their age, that's it. All you're going to hear all day is noise. So dad, you need to get up before those kids get up. He said, it's hard to do that. Let me help you out. Go to bed a little earlier. Don't stay up watching ESPN or NCIS or whatever it is that suits your fancy. Go to bed so that you can talk to God in the morning. Put your day before him. Ask for his help. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to mold you. Now, some of us, we get in the car and we're praying in the car. That's fine. If that works for you, fine. But it's very important that you find your own secret place. And you go there very often. The thing about the secret place is God is already there waiting for you. You know, a lot of times when you want to go see somebody in authority, obviously you get there early. They'll keep you in a waiting room and then they'll call you in when that person is ready. That's the way it works. God is the opposite. The King of the universe is in the room just waiting for you. Just come. Wow. You and I ought to be taking advantage of it all day long. Amen? Go to your secret place because God is waiting for you there. And so if I can get some brothers who gave out the stuff, could you pass the index cards to the sides so they can pick them up? And I promise you, I will be praying through all these things that you've written down. Brothers and sisters, it's about being alone with God. And so whatever it is you need to do to block out the noise, to block out all the chatter, then you need to do it. You know, prayer is an amazing thing. When you think about it, Christians back in the first century, they didn't have this. If they wanted to hear the word, they had to be at church. And they saw the apostles and the evangelists in the act of teaching. But one thing they could all do was pray. Are you with me? You don't have to be literate. You don't have to go to school. Thank God you don't have to go to college to be able to pray. Just open your mouth. Start talking to your God. And the King of the universe will answer you. God bless.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Father, having a chance to worship you. Father, having a chance to just come before your throne, God, this morning. Hear your word being read and being preached to us, God. Father in heaven, I pray so much that you help us take to heart the message today. Father, to be alone with you. Father, to learn to truly come and seek your face, Father. I know I need to do that more, Father. Father, there's prayers that I stop praying for, God, and I pray that you help me repent and change that, God. Father, I pray that you help all of us change that, God. Help us truly come before your throne and pray every single day, Father. Father, help us not lose faith. Help us be like the Roman centurion, God. Father, I pray that we'll be like him, Father, that we'll just ask you to say the word. Father, we'll see your will in our lives, Father. Father, I pray that you help us be like the bleeding woman, Father. I always think of her and the faith that she had, that she just wanted to touch you. She just wanted to come in your presence, God, and she knew she would be well. I pray that you help us do the same. Help us trust you. Help us truly find a secret place. Help us do whatever we need to do to be radical, God, to be close to you. Father, to seek you every day. Father, to come to you every day in prayer, God. I pray that you be with us, guide us, and lead us, God. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.